Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Louis Efron. He's a global executive and author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. Louis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on it.
So, you know, to give the audience a little bit of an understanding about your history, I know you were the former head of engagement with Tesla Motors, for example, but people really want to understand, if you're going to write a book called How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love, a little bit of your background will be helpful for making them understand where you come from in this angle.
Definitely, yeah. I have a very colorful background that led me to this book. I started my undergraduate in theatrical directing, and I started my career in theater. After graduating at Cal State Fullerton, I headed out to New York to pursue my dream of working on Broadway theater. And after a few odd jobs like a bellhop and a conference service supervisor up in Tarrytown, New York, I ended up landing my first Broadway management job and started managing Broadway shows, which was a complete dream come true, $250 a week. But it was definitely a dream come true, not a financial dream come true, but from a career perspective. And after spending about eight years in the arts and working both as a producer and manager and then obviously on the union side in representing actors towards the end at Actors Equity Association, I decided I really wanted to be able to pay my rent in the future. It was just very, very difficult to make any money doing it. And like I said, it was a labor of love. I just couldn't really get a foothold on establishing a solid life. And I decided what I wanted to do is make a switch over to the corporate world to both find my passion and purpose and also make some money to survive and have a family someday and things like that. And while the stretch going from an artistic profession in theater to a corporate job seems like a huge stretch, it actually wasn't too crazy because I was doing a lot of union work, as I mentioned, in the theater world, in the arts, if you know it, anything you do, there's a union involved, especially in Broadway theater. So I was working on both sides of the union. So I transitioned into a labor relations specialist at an amazing company called Stryker. And I was really blessed to actually grow up in HR in an organization that really had a highly developed function. And also, as an aside, I also learned that there's a lot more drama in HR than there ever was back in theater. And I sort of learned that in my transition. But I had a crazy time to have a chance to work really all over the world with Stryker, starting as a labor relations specialist in manufacturing and then moving to a role of head of global operations, again, HR. And then moving to head up UK, Ireland, South Africa as HR, and then heading Japan as the head of HR there, and then back into a new division that we had purchased over in Arizona. So I had a chance to a global tour of the organization, see the world, see HR from every perspective, handling every single function, and then ended up taking a job as a head of HR for international for a global software company, JDA Software, based out of Arizona. And after doing that for a couple years, I transitioned in to continue my writing. I had been writing since I've been very, very young, something I always loved. I was writing for Forbes and Huffington Post for some time during those last two jobs. And so went to finish my book, How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. And this book is essentially a bit of my own journey, a lot of my own journey, actually, and all the people that I sort of met along the way and the success that they had and what it's really aimed at doing is I've done a lot of jobs, as I mentioned, in my career. I mean, I've done a lot of things, and it took me about 20-plus years to find my path and find really where I needed to be and what my purpose was and where my passions were and what my strengths were. And what I'm trying to do with this book is give people a little bit of strategy and give them the ability to ask questions earlier in life. This book is designed for anybody in any time in their career. just to get people to start asking questions about where they really need to be in life, get off the treadmill and start thinking about what's important to them, what their purpose is, what their passion is, what they're best at, and try to align yourself. But I really believe that's the magic in life. If you find where you need to be in life, that sort of that sweet spot, you have huge success. And the successes I've had in my life is that being, I think, aligned appropriately as I've been sort of meandering my path. But now I'm really sort of coming full circle and getting to a place where I'm feeling just very comfortable with what I'm doing. I feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing in life. And that's what this book's all about, to help people sort of ask the right questions and hopefully earlier in life, because I'm finding is, through my journey is a lot of people are unfortunately on their deathbed and they start questioning their lives or regretting what they should have done or what they shouldn't have done. And so that's what I'm trying to do here. And so I finished the book, and then I got a call from Tesla Motors to go over and launch a global employee engagement initiative as a project for this last year. And it was an amazing opportunity, an amazing organization, a huge purpose lab for me. And so I did that successfully, and now I'm in the process of writing my second book about purpose and how that connects to employee engagement, ultimately your business results, and how organizations can leverage that to have great success. Doing a lot of speaking around it. So that's a little bit of my background.
Sure. We're talking with Louis Efron. He's a global executive and author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. Louis, you know, as I looked through the book, one of the things that struck me was a quote that was in the foreword, right in the beginning of the book. And the quote says, "People are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, make them." And that's George Bernard Shaw. Why did that quote, you know, stick out as one that you would put right in the front of the forward of your book to kick it off?
Yeah, it was very deliberate. I firmly believe that people have the ability to have the life they want if they really take control and really start thinking about where they need to be, what their strategy is, and really take an active participation in driving their success and creating the life you want. And that quote really captures that for me. It's about, if you can't find the circumstances, you make the circumstances. I think the really successful people in life that I've seen are people that they make what they want. They take control of their lives, and they live the life they want. And that quote really captures that for me. I think if you're a passive watcher of life, you're never going to have what you want, and you're going to always feel stuck. But in reality, you have an intense amount of control of your own life. It's just a matter of having the confidence and the determination to make it happen. And that's what that quote captures for me, and that's why I led with it.
You know, in the first chapter, you start off with saying, "My purpose is to enlighten, inspire, and teach, to help others see the possibilities in life. I began as a 5-year-old designing a pen with a light on it so my far-sighted grandmother could read her favorite book. In my recent corporate life, I worked as a human resource professional and always focused on helping others." Why is it when you're looking at how to find a job, a career, and a life you love, why is it that you have to look to others as much as you have to look inward?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a household. My father was very much, was very much of a servant leader, and he believed in serving others in life. And I've personally seen, I grew up this way, I was sort of wired this way, that the more you help others in life, the more abundance that will flow into your life. And I think part of being human, is helping those around you. And you don't have to actively be involved in charities and things like that, but whatever you do in life, you have an impact on other people. And I think the more you recognize that and the more you try to make things better for people around you, the more success you're going to have. I've seen evidence of it time and time again. So for me, I was sort of wired that way. I've seen examples of all throughout my life that of people that have really served others and what comes back to them in a very altruistic manner. So I believe that. I've seen the evidence of it. And so I think serving others is really the magic key. And I think anything you do in life, you can draw a connection between serving other people. You really can't live, there's very few people that can live in a bubble without having contact with anybody else. I think any work you do in life has an impact on other people. And the more positive impact you can have by the work you're doing on others, the more success you'll have.
Well, you talk about purpose, and we're going to be talking about that in the next segment. We'll talk a little bit about the word purpose and all that part of it. But one of the things that I think is interesting in when you're talking about this, finding your career and a life you love, you're realistic to at least say, hey, look, I was doing something I love, but I couldn't financially survive in that. So I had to be realistic with my life and say, okay, I needed to do what I needed to do to survive, to take care of a family. And then it led me over time to get to the point where I am happier and need to do what I want to do. Talk about that journey a little, because it is, there are people who are, look at that and they go, well, I'm just going to follow that passion of my life. But then they just can't make it, and it gets disheartening at times for people. So talk about it a little bit in that aspect.
Yeah, you know, I think you need to, in life, as you mentioned, in reality, everybody has to make a living. And I think the ultimate circumstance is where you can be aligned in a job and or career, whatever you're doing, whether it be your own business or working for someone else, where you can be playing to your purpose, you can be playing to your passion. You could be aligning with your strengths and also getting paid to do it. And I think the people that really find that magic key are the people that pursue their purpose and their passion, their strengths, and the money follows. So I think if you lead with the money, and we all, as you mentioned, we all have to make money, so there's times you have to make decisions. I mean, I love the arts, but I had a switch because I ultimately wanted to have a home and a family, which I have now, and I couldn't afford to do that. And that was part of my mission and purpose as well, is to, you know, raise two beautiful daughters now. And I needed that as part of my life. So I think you need to look at your 360-degree view of everything that fits into that mission and purpose of what you're trying to do. And that includes, you know, things in your personal life, not only work. It's about living a life, not a job. And one of my favorite quotes is, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. So I think if you find that, the money follows. And the people, you always give an example, for example, the Richard Bransons of the world. This is a guy who, when you watch his videos or you watch any interviews with him, this guy, he's loving life. He's in the right position, the right alignment in what he should be doing in life, and he's had huge financial success as a result of it. And I'm not saying everybody's going to have that type of financial success, but you'll have the success you want in life and the money you need in life if you find that space where all this comes together. Again, your person, your purpose, your passion, your strengths, and then the money does follow. But you've got to be realistic. I mean, you just can't meander through life and hang on to it to the detriment of your ability to eat and to support your family if you have it, or keep a roof over your head. So that's what I was trying to do with this book, is put some strategy behind it. So an actual plan. I think if you need to put actions behind what you're trying to do, especially when you're trying to follow something as gray as, when people talk about purpose, there's not a lot of people think it's a very airy-fairy type of concept, but it's real, and it produces actually results for you in your life and in organizations. But you need to have strategy behind it, like anything. You need to guide it. You need to look at the whole picture and make sure that you're satisfying all your needs, and that financial need is a requirement in life. And so that's why I think strategy is key behind this.
We're talking with Louis Efron. He's a global executive, author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay long sleeve tees are just $29.99 each when you buy two or more.
Dale Carnegie Training specializes in building high-performing individuals and teams, and Dale Carnegie Maine provides public courses that do just that. Sign up for courses starting February 1st with the Dale Carnegie Sales Training Course, February 5th, How to Cold Call, February 23rd, High Impact Presentations, February 25th, in Bangor and Portland, the Dale Carnegie Training Course. To sign up, go to maine.dalecarnegie.com or call 775-3253. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Louis Efron today. He's a global executive and author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. Louis, again, thank you for being on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking about your book in the first session, How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. And one of the things that you talk about in the book, and you also talk about you're making a new book about, is purpose. So to start this conversation, as we get ready to go into the whole what is the purpose, what is the purpose? What does it mean to you? What are you trying to define it as in terms of making HR professionals, business leaders, organizational people really understand what purpose is?
Sure. When I talk about purpose, I talk about three definitions that I usually present on, and I'll give you those definitions and give you some framework around here. But the Webster Dictionary just defines it as basically the reason for which something is done or used, the aim or intention of something. And then there's a great definition by the Purpose Institute, which is an organization that does purpose-based consulting. It's really aimed at the individual, and it says a definitive statement about the difference that you are trying to make in the world. This is back to our first segment. We spoke about what your legacy is, what your impact on humanity is. And then for organizations, when we transition to that, the best accepted definition that I've heard and love is the reason your organization or industry exists, your why. And I think there's a fantastic organization in Arizona called Y Scouts, which is a executive-based purpose organization that basically helps place people based on their purpose in life. And it aligns essentially the employee purpose with the organizational purpose in discovering your why. And over my career and watching people that have been very, very successful, these are people that understand their why they exist, what difference they're trying to make in the world, and it connects to the jobs they have and the organizations that they're working for. And that alignment is what really creates the power of great organizations like the Whole Foods of the world, the IDEOs, the IKEAs, that have had huge, huge success as a result of having a really strong purpose and having employees that connect to that purpose. I mean, recently leaving Tesla Motors is a great example of that. There's about 12,000 employees there, and almost every employee there is strongly connected to the mission and purpose of that organization. I mean, that's the essence and the heartbeat of that organization. That's why they've been able to accomplish so much. So in any organization, if you're able to have that alignment, but it requires first the organization understanding what their why is, and that it requires the employee and the individual understanding what their why is and how that connects, and then how do you leverage your strengths as a person to deliver on your why, deliver on your purpose, and have the greatest impact on the organization. But if everybody jumps out of bed each morning feeling that I'm doing what I need to be doing in life, and by the way, it happens to be the same thing my organization is doing, I mean, it all works, and it goes back to that quote, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. It's about getting up each day for your purpose. And that's what I'm trying, that's what I did with my book, is to try to help you find that as an individual. My second book is to try to help corporations on that side align their employees with their purpose, with your organization. And that translates into really strong employee engagement and ultimately translates into business results.
As an organization really starts thinking of their purpose, and we're going to be talking about it from a standpoint of individual and organizational, do they need to look for individuals at the front end when they're hiring somebody that has already that inner purpose? Or how do they align the organization and the individual? Because that is a challenge, right? I mean, every time you bring a new person into an organization, it may or may not change the culture of the organization. It may or may not have an impact on the purpose of the organization. I would argue it does, but from this standpoint, how do you keep that all aligned?
If you don't get it right at the front end on the recruiting side, it's always going to be broken. The most important part of this whole movement around purpose is making sure you're getting the right people in the door initially, and then the people that are in the door, helping them discover their purpose and how it connects to the jobs they're doing. And hopefully, in most cases, you could find those connections. There will be times, and I think organizations should be realistic about this, there's times where an employee goes through a purpose discovery and realizes, you know, I'm in the wrong role or potentially even the wrong company. If you're in the wrong role, that's a course correction. You obviously want your employees aligned as much as possible because, as I mentioned, there's a direct correlation between your purpose, employee engagement, and business results. So you want to help make that alignment. And in the rare case where there's an employee that is in total the wrong place in life, you need to help realign them somewhere else so they can be successful in life, so you can fill that position with someone who's going to help move your business forward that's connected to that purpose alignment. But going back to the recruiting side and getting people in the right door, there's a great quote by Simon Sinek in the book Start With Why. And it says, if you want to hire people to move your mission and purpose forward, you must hire people who believe what you believe. And this is the essence of it, right? Getting that alignment. And so the questions that I've asked to help organizations do this, I've asked them for many, many years. I wrote them several years ago. And I'll tell you what they are. It's five questions. What gets you out of bed in the morning? And these are role questions that will sort of knock your candidate a bit out of their comfort zone. Most people don't ask questions like this, and candidates aren't prepared for them. But when you're asked questions like this, they help sort of get to the real core answers and real passion and purpose behind your employee. So what gets you out of bed in the morning? I asked an employee this question one time, and they told me, or a candidate, and they told me the alarm clock wasn't quite what I was looking for. the next question, if you didn't need money, what would you do in life? And this is a tough question because people can't separate themselves, and they say, well, I have to pay my rent and my mortgage and my car payments. But if you could take a moment and step away from it, like I said, get off the treadmill and say, okay, if I didn't need money, what would I spend my time doing in life? And while it's not realistic, it gives clues as to where you should align yourself and starts sort of giving you a bit of a pathway. So that question is a powerful one. When in life have you been so passionately focused on an activity that you lost track of time, and what were you doing? This is a question that I've asked myself over my journey, and for me, writing is something that I could be really tired at 11 o'clock at night and start writing and get wrapped in something and then find it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've just been driven by pure passion and energy about something that I feel is really strongly connected to my purpose and what I'm trying to do in life. So asking someone that question. And by the way, these questions, I have two more, but when you ask these type of questions, you see people's body language start to change, their eyes light
up.
The next question is, you know, what are you most interested in and speak most enthusiastically about in life? So when you step on a topic, when you're talking to someone about that they're really, really passionate and interested in, their whole body and everything changes. And by asking these questions, you get out of the prepared answers that all employees come to an interview with of what they think the employer wants to hear, and you start having them talk about things that they're really passionate about and really connected to their purpose. And this is what gets you to the core of understanding this person and how they can best potentially fit in your organization, and if they fit in your organization, and how they'll connect to your purpose. And the last question is, what do you want others to remember you for? So the legacy question. So you don't have to ask any of these questions, but whatever you ask, I encourage employers always to ask questions that are not in the norm, that get to the heart of the person you're speaking to. And like I said, when you step on that, you'll see a whole change, and then you'll get to really understand, is this person going to help really be passionate about driving my business forward and really be connected to what I'm doing? So that's just one tool of many. Obviously, looking at the resume and things like that, resumes are unfortunately usually very well orchestrated to fit, again, into the job description that the company has out there online. So I would encourage companies to also be realistic about the company that employees are entering, like what it's really about. I mean, don't put up the facade of what you want it to be, but really be introspective as an organization. So this is what we really are about. This is what our why really is, and this is the candidates we really want. And then tailor your job descriptions for it. So if candidates start messing around with their resume to fit into the job that they want because they need the money, they will start drafting it in a way that really connects to what your organization is really about. So I think any way you can discover what the candidate's about, and you can guide candidates into being honest, open and honest with what they really want and what their purpose and passion is about and what their strengths are, the better candidate you're going to hire and the more success you're going to have in your organization, because it just makes sense that when you hire the right people, you're going to get better results.
We're talking with Louis Efron. He's the author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. While we're talking about purpose, we know that purpose completely impacts employee engagement. As we've now said, once they're hired and we got the right people in the door, the engagement world has changed a little, especially in the sense that a lot of the millennials believe that, you know, 2-3 years in an organization is pretty much a lifetime. So when companies think about engagement, what are some of the basic business results and things we need to think about as we change our thought process from someone going to stay 20, 30 years to how do we maximize those 2, 3, 5 years with an organization?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's a double-edged sword with that statistics about, because I know millennials, and I think some of the statistics are showing even less than a year and a half in some cases. Coming up. And I think this is twofold. One, I think we have to deal with the reality of potentially a changing culture around longevity at a company. But I think also on the flip side of that, can we create more of a life for employees coming to the organization, back to the 360-degree view of someone, that can keep people at organizations longer and create various layers of employment for people? And when I talk about that quote, really about living a life, I think you can deal with this issue in two fronts. You can try to get the most out of employees in a short period of time, knowing they're going to leave, or you can try to get to the core of this issue and try to create for millennials and Generation Y and Z's coming up into the workplace a life that encompasses everything that they're important about and feeds them at many, many levels. And I think if you can do that, I think we could potentially shift this, you know, this low tenure trend. Because while it's reality now, I think we do have to deal with it in one front. Ultimately, long term, if you could retain employees and build a rich experience with them, also even for your customers, it makes a world of difference. And I don't think that's ever going to change, but I think it's got to be the mind shift of the organizations and say, and I don't think we need to give up on saying, okay, people are coming in the door, we're only going to keep them, you know, a year and a half to 3 years, so let's just get everything we can out of them. I really do believe if we can create a life for our people and care about what they care about outside of work and not just the 8 hours or 10 hours you're trying to squeeze out of them, but what do they care about outside of life? I mean, their family, their personal interests. How do we help accelerate and enhance that as well? And I think if you can do that and so stop blurring the lines or blurring the lines completely between work and personal life, I think we can keep people longer. With technology today, you cannot separate. There's no longer a direct solid line between your workday and your personal life. It's completely blended in. And so I think more organizations can accept that, embrace that, and help people live their personal purpose, which is connected, again, to the organizational purpose. I think that we'll see the trend shift, because I still don't firmly believe that it's healthy to have turnover like that. I think it obviously costs an organization lots of money and time and retraining and recruiting and all those types of things. It's disruptive to the business. And I still firmly believe that if we put the right strategy in place in the corporate world, We could retain people, but we just have to think about things radically differently. So, you know, a sort of a on the fence response to your question, David, around this. So I think we have to deal with reality, but I think we need to also strategically figure out a way to shift that balance by really focusing on this purpose space. And purpose means your life. It's not just living a purpose in work. It's living 360 degrees of your life. And if we can really create a life for our employees, I think it's going to shift. I think it's going to change. And I think we can still keep people for their entire career in an organization because it's just a different way of structuring things.
We're talking with Louis Efron. He's a global executive and author of the book, How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Dale Carnegie Training specializes in building high-performing individuals and teams, and Dale Carnegie Maine provides public courses that do just that.
Sign up for courses starting February 1st with the Dale Carnegie Sales Training Course, February 5th, How to Cold Call, February 23rd, High Impact Presentations, February 25th in Bangor and Portland, the Dale Carnegie Training Course. To sign up, go to maine.dalecarnegie.com or call 775-3253.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having a great conversation with Louis Efron. He's a global executive and former head of engagement with Tesla Motors and the author of the book, How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. You know, it's interesting, Louis. I was looking at the back cover of your book, and I do have to say, two of the people, Chester Elton and Ann Rhodes, both HR Power Hour guests, have been on in the last couple of years talking about one, their book, The Carrot Principle of All In for Chester. And Ann Rhodes, of course, is just a fantastic person, co-founder of JetBlue and president of People Inc. You know, when you're doing these books and you're out there and you're, you know, people sometimes say, well, what got you to write a book and how do you get people to endorse it? Because those are big names in the industry. How do you get those connections and how do you find that, you know, when you're looking, if you're thinking about writing a book or you're thinking about doing something on the side in your career or you want to get to a point where you're excited about writing and live your life, talk a little about how you do that.
Yeah, first of all, I had a rude awakening with writing a book because, like I mentioned earlier in this interview, I mean, I love writing. It's something that I think is one of the tools to help me impact other people's lives and help and live my purpose. And I had a rude awakening that you would write a book and suddenly all these people would go and buy it and read it. And it is very, very difficult, I discovered, to number one, write a book, and number two, get it out there. But the way these endorsements I have on the back of the book goes back to what I spoke about earlier, too, about serving others in life and be committed to helping others and building the network around that. I've had some amazing people in my life that I've met over my life and just my journey that have basically connected me to these wonderful people that ultimately gave me these testimonials in the back of the book. So I've spent a good part of my time in my life trying to help others, obviously, and because of that focus, people have come into my life and have wanted to help me. And when I was writing this book, people openly said, "Oh, I've got I know so-and-so I can connect you with, and just these amazing people in my life that I sort of just stumbled across because of wonderful people that have just connected me to these people. So I would firmly advise anybody that's trying to do these things on the side or write a book or really build their career in life is to network as much as possible. I mean, tools like LinkedIn is an amazing tool. I have a huge network that I've built over many, many years and made a lot of friends and personal contacts and people that have been very important in my life through that network. But once you network with those people, try to offer value. And with, you know, the writing that I do, like I said, you make very, very little money in it. Forbes and Huffington Post stuff, I mean, it's just very, very little monetary value. But the personal value and the personal gratification I get of helping people and getting feedback from or people that have read it and applied it to their lives or their organizations and it's helped is just invaluable. But I think the more you can add value to other people in life as you build your network and just give to others, the more they're going to give back to you. And, you know, I met you, David, as a result of having a wonderful connection in my life that connected me to the event in New Hampshire where we recently met.
Yeah, the Strategic HR Conference, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was a result of the same network that brought me some of these people that are on the, you know, Anne and Chester on the back of my book. It's the same people that say, oh, I've got this, you know, great person I want you to meet, and they just connect and we speak, and it led me to where we're sitting today. So I think networking, absolutely key, but as you're building your network, just add value, and the more value you're going to add to other people in your life, the more people are going to come in and want to add value back to you. And that's how it all works. So I feel very, very blessed in my life because all this stuff is sort of, it appears it just happened. I mean, it's been strategic in my life because I know ultimately where I wanted to focus and where I wanted to go. But focusing in that area of building networks and adding value has just made these magical things happen. And suddenly at the right time and right place in life, suddenly someone will pop up to say, hey, I've got this person that you need to meet and they're going to help you. And they connect me. And sure enough, it leads me to my next stage in my career, my next success. So I think that's for me, that's been what's the magic behind it.
Well, I think that's probably true when you really think about life is through people. You know, I remember my dad said, as I was growing up and many, many times, he said, it's a people world. You can only get things done if you know people. You know, things are great, they're tools, but the reality is people is how the world gets done. And he's right. Right? I mean, he's absolutely correct. And the fact is that the only way you can be successful is if you can really know how to connect with individuals and people at all levels, all aspects, and that networking piece, whether you're looking for a job or a career or success, is critical.
Yeah, no, I firmly believe that. Yeah.
You know, the other thing that when we're talking about your book, and I wanted to give you an opportunity here, is kind of just explain, if you would, as you go through the book, you'll see there are exercises, there are things that people can do to try to figure out their purpose, figure out their match. Talk to me a little about where these tools came from and what somebody that gets the book, again, the book's called How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. Now, tell the audience exactly what they could expect from going through the book and what the end result could be.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm trying to put some science behind this. I mean, there's a lot of people that speak, you know, self-help people that speak about purpose and, you know, trying to connect to your purpose. And I think that's all great. But I think in life, if you're not succeeding, you have the wrong strategy. And I think strategy coupled with purpose is where the power is. And what I was trying to do with this book is base it as much science as I could around even sleep research that I start the book with about sleeping on things. And I talk about that at the end of each chapter and focusing on a particular question that you need to solve and going to bed. And at night, your mind is active in sort of in your REM state and through dreams and just your rest period, you can come up with remarkable solutions in life. So what I try to do in this book is put as much science as I could into it and sort of tried and tested platforms that have been around in some cases since, you know, the 30s that are still the essence of life. And as you spoke about before, some of these things around your connection to people, they've always existed from the day the planet was sort of put here. They've always been here. And I think it's reconnecting to what the essence of human nature is. And that's what my book is trying to do, is leverage that research and most of it goes back to the core of what humanity is really all about. And asking the right questions, because I believe that asking the questions and then thinking about them and coming up with answers is the first place you need to start. Everybody gets so busy and you can't see the forest through the trees at some point because you're so much in a rut. And the minute you take a breath and you look back and you ask a question, say, hey, am I in the right place in life? You open up a whole door to start thinking about things and other possibilities. And once you've opened that door, then asking more questions to lead you and look at the obvious things in life. And most people know what they're best at. Most people know, if you really sit down and say, what do I do best? What do most people give me positive feedback? And where do I get the most criticism? Everybody can ask that question quite quickly and get to the core and understand what they do. So most people know what is in this book. So it's not rocket science. It's basically just giving people an opportunity to take a breath, ask the right questions, put strategy behind it. And then I advise in the book to experiment. And experimentation in life, as I mentioned, I've had numerous jobs and lived all over the world, lived in close to probably 40 homes in my life. And I'm not saying you need to be a wanderer like I am to find it, but you can experiment even on weekends by donating your time here and there for a few hours. Experiment with different things that you may be interested in, or you think you're interested in, or you know you're interested in, that may be well outside of what you're currently doing today, or maybe even at your current company where you said, well, I'm in, you know, HR, but I think I really have a passion for marketing, and I think that fits better with what I want to do in life and how I want to impact the world. See if you can spend a couple hours or shadow someone that works in the organization. So I think once you start discovering some of the realities of where you need to be and where you think you need to be in life, then experimenting around it will reinforce if that path is the right path or if it's not the right path. But you can do that, and that's some of the tools I give in the book, is how do you experiment? I mean, people always tell me that, you know, they feel stuck. They can't get out. They have this job. It's taking a lot of their time. They can't. They don't have time to think about things, but there's always time. And as I start the book with that quote that you mentioned earlier, David, if you really want something in life, you've got to work at it. It's not easy. It's not gonna fall in your lap. So if you're unhappy in your situation, you feel stuck, you need to, you know, and you get home in the evening, right before you go to bed, take half an hour, cut a half an hour off of your day, which everybody can do, and start asking some of these questions that I have in the book about what you're interested in and what you're really passionate about and where your purpose may be. And do that, a little bit of that each night. I mean, I always say that you can't eat an elephant in one bite, right? You got to take little bite-sized chunks, and this book is about that. And that's why each chapter is fairly short, and at the end of the chapter, it asks you to sleep on it. So it's a journey, not something that you read this book and overnight it's going to change your life. It's a journey, it's an evolution, and it's something you got to commit to. So if you are reading this book that I wrote, it guides you through that process, gives you tools to put a strategy and action plan in place. And if you stick with it, I give another tool in the book where I talk about just focusing on 30 days at a time. So if you could live the life you want for 30 days, you can do that, which is a short period of time. You can live it for another 30 days and another 30 days and then a year and then 2 years and then your entire lifetime. It's just about changing your perspective. One of the other quotes I have in the book, which is one of my other favorite quotes by Dr. Wayne Dyer, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, and shifting your perspective in life and getting out of the rut and seeing the possibilities will be a huge catalyst for change in anybody's life. And then opening up to asking questions and answering those questions and listening to them and paying attention to the red flags in your life and the positive signs in your life will guide you to where you need to be. But you have to take an active participation in that. Long-winded response, but hopefully that helps.
No, it absolutely does. And we're talking with Lewis Efron. He's the author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well,
All you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
They were a marching band with a plan to steal their rival mascot's costume. Stealth would be critical. I said stealth was critical. They searched each room until there it was, the precious mascot in a glass case. They ran toward the exit when suddenly the theft was covered thanks to a Farmers agent. Marching Bandits, May 4th, 2015. Talk to Farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Dale Carnegie Training specializes in building high-performing individuals and teams, and Dale Carnegie Maine provides public courses that do just that.
Sign up for courses starting February 1st with the Dale Carnegie Sales Training Course, February 5th, How to Cold Call, February 23rd, High Impact Presentations, February 25th, in Bangor and Portland, the Dale Carnegie Training Course. To sign up, go to maine.dalecarnegie.com or call 775-3253.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've been talking with Lewis Efron. He's the author of How to Find a Job, Career, and Life You Love. He's a global executive and former head of engagement with Tesla Motors. You know, I was just looking at your website, and it is Lewis Michael Efron, and I'll spell it LuisMichaelEfron.com. And on here, you talk about get your purpose alignment score. And it has this little box that says, what's your score? Tell us a little bit about how people can go on your site and look at this purpose alignment score to help them.
Definitely. And David, just to let you know, you can also just get on LuisEfron.com. So it's a lot quicker if you don't want to type in the Michael there, too. But this is LuisEfron.com. But yeah, the purpose alignment indicator score is basically to help people. It's a web-based system where you can go on and answer some of these questions I'm speaking about in the book to help give you a indication as to how aligned you are with your purpose in life. And as I mentioned before, this is where it all starts, is to really start questioning, are you aligned where you need to be? And that's what this tool is about. It's a simple tool. It takes a few minutes to respond to, and gives you, again, a rating that shows you how aligned you are. And if you're not aligned, then you can start asking those questions. But even if you have a pretty high alignment, life is always about learning and growing and getting better. And the more aligned you can be, if you can get that 5 out of 5, those are the people that live the world-class lives and the people like the Richard Bransons of the world. So I think the more you can align that, the better. And that's what this tool is designed to do, is to give you an early indication how aligned you are. And if you're far off the mark, the book gives you all the tools you need to take to the next level. If you're well aligned, the book gives you a chance to further enhance your life and even improve on the successes you currently have. So that's the first start. That's really out of the gate, the first tool to get the ball rolling.
Great. And that's at Lewis Efron, LuisEfron.com. You know, one of the last things I want to talk about as we wrap this up, we have about 3 minutes left on the show today. You have obviously spoken and talked about HR across the country and done a lot of speaking and in different purposes and roles. Where do you see the role of HR in business today?
Yeah, I think the role of HR, and I always say this to myself, like I say, I'm a business person first and an HR person second. I think you must be a business person, and you must understand the language that the leaders that you're supporting, and care about the same things you care about. And I think HR teams need to be directly aligned to the business as much as possible. I always hated when HR teams celebrated a success in the business if the business was failing. So if the objectives aren't directly aligned with the business, there's a huge miss there. But I think the role of HR is to help everything we've been speaking about today is to help align employees and people that you're bringing in the business and your current employees with their personal purpose and how that connects to organizational purpose and defining that, clearly and effectively communicating that, and helping your human capital in your business understand how they leverage their strengths to help further that mission and purpose, and not focus on, I think the money comes, and it's difficult for organizations to let go of that, but the results have shown, I mean, there's been a study that purpose-driven organizations have grown 1,646% between a period of time of 1996 and 2011 versus 157% growth in the Standard & Poor's, basically stock market. So there's actual science behind it. So the role of HR is to really paint the picture of the business of purpose and aligning people to where they need to be in life. That will solve all the issues with your millennials and all your other generations coming into the workforce. That'll help you get the right people in the right roles and help you fulfill your organizational purpose, which ultimately leads into your top and bottom line of your organization. And research supports that. So I think that's the role of HR today, is to be true strategic business partners, help business leaders understand this message and what needs to happen for the future. And that's where great organizations and great success in human resource departments are going to happen in the future.
I got to tell you, Lewis, it's been a great conversation, really going through and discussing purpose. And, you know, one of the things that I always like to say is that one of the fun parts of this show is that I get to talk with great people talking about different topics. And you really did a great job of discussing why it is so important for individuals to think about their purpose, their passion, and really enjoy life. You know, as you've said in this show today, people who are really full of passion and purpose will really get a lot done and be fully engaged. And whether it's an organization, an individual, it really doesn't matter, because this is a key element of how people need to live to love. And I think that's a really great purpose that you're saying here today.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you having me here too to speak about it.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. And now your HR Tip of the Week. According to Kevin Dom, the author of Video Marketing for Dummies, there are 10 things really amazing bosses do. First, good bosses maintain control and get things done. Second, good bosses foster a sense of community, making room for everyone. Three, good bosses invite creative thinking. Four, good bosses create an open environment for voicing concern and frustration. Five, good bosses encourage career development for all their employees. Six, they run effective and efficient meetings. Seven, they build trust so people feel safe. Eight, they generate happiness in the workplace. Nine, they make sure people are responsible for their roles and actions. And 10, they know how to praise and show great gratitude. That is what amazing bosses do, and that has been your HR Tip of the Week. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.